Wonderful, ladies. Thank you for that special and song. Take your Bible back to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 this evening. And we're going to begin a three-part series that we're going to have over the next couple of Sunday nights. And a title of the series is, It's Okay. It's Okay. You know what that means? Several different things and can have several different applications. And this series is about some things that we can do in church. Most of the time we hear sermons about what we cannot do, but tonight it is different. We're going to be looking at some scriptures that talk about what we can and what we ought to be doing in church. There are times when we're in a church service that we're not engaged, that we're here, but we're not here. We're here, we're listening, but we're not engaged in what God is doing. We're not engaged in the sermon. We're filling time. We're here because we're out of duty, or maybe we're tired. We're not plugged in into what's going on. But tonight, we have to realize something, that the singing time is part of our worship. I mean, we can even be standing here and singing, standing on the promises and praising God, which what we're supposed to be doing with our singing. And we can be standing here, standing on the promises, which is an exciting song. We can be standing up here singing Onward Christian Soldiers and all of that. And you can be totally not engaged each time you do that. We can tend to do that in church when there's repetitive things that we do. We go to church, we sing our songs, we listen to the sermon, we go home. We can become disconnected from what God wants to do in our life. Do we realize, and I was never taught this, that singing in church is part of worship? I never was taught that. But it is part of our worship to God. No matter whether you're an adult or a young person, it is part of our worship. Our giving time is part of our worship. When we take up an offering, it's not just so we can squeeze the money out of you. It's part of our giving to God, giving of an offering, as like on the altar, of an offering of sacrifice. It's worship to God in giving to His work. And also the preaching time is part of our worship. I mean, sometimes we have no problem getting excited about the singing time. I mean, praise God, we get excited and we get a blessing when we hear wonderful specials, you know, and we get excited about the giving time. Amen. You know, especially I get excited about the giving time afterwards after I see what happened. No, but, you know, we should be excited about giving to the Lord. You know, we shouldn't be giving grudgingly nor in necessity, but God loveth a what? A cheerful giver. And the preaching time, unfortunately, in a lot of churches, is where things become dull. Not necessarily because of the preacher, but because people think that you just need to sit and listen. But you know what? Tonight we're going to start off the series is with It's Okay. And the title is, It's Okay to Say Amen in Church. And we're going to look at that tonight. Thank you, Brother Hammonds. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, look at 1 Peter chapter 2 tonight. Let's all stand together as we not sing. I'm getting out of that habit, Brother Hammond. Stand together and sing from this week. But stand together, take your Bibles, turn to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9. And we're going to be talking about praising. And when we say amen, we say hallelujah, we say praise God in church. It's part of praising God. And it's okay to do that. Some churches say, well, how dare you do that? And I have a couple stories for you about that. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9. But let's take out of reference, just be plugged in as we read this tonight. You know, we can stand up and do the reading, and we're not plugged in what God's doing even during the scripture reading time. Let's make a decision to be plugged into what God wants to do tonight. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should shew forth the praises of Him who have called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Let's take a few moments and ask the Lord's blessing tonight. Let's pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for bringing us together once again into your house. And Lord, we want to praise you here. We want to worship you here. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. And we thank you for the fourfold blessing that is in this passage. Oh, Lord, we have so much to thank you and praise you for. I pray that you'd give me clarity tonight. Give me the words that I ought to say, and help me, Lord, to say things, to not say things that I ought not. I hide behind the cross, dear Lord. This is your message and your word. I pray that it would touch our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated tonight. It's okay to say amen. So tonight we're looking at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9. But why should we say amen? Or more importantly, why should we praise God? Why do we have to praise God? You know, when people say, why do I have to praise God? There's a problem there. Because there's a fourfold reason that we see in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9. Praise is not a silent practice. If you look throughout the Bible, and we're going to tonight in a little bit, that when you look at praise, it's not something that is silent. Praise, by its very definition, says this: the expression of gratitude for personal favors conferred. We praise someone, and more importantly, we glorify and we extol all that God has done for us in that He has given us salvation. And when we praise someone, we do it verbally. We say something. Whenever maybe you received an award of some kind, and you know what? There's no such thing as a silent award. You know, you get up in front of people and they hand you something and they don't say one little bit about what you did. They don't say what you're getting. They hand it to you and you walk back. They're like, no, that's not what happens. They say what happened and they praise you for your accomplishment. And we all clap our hands and we congratulate you on your accomplishment. We're praising you, not worshiping you, but we're praising what has happened. But unfortunately, what happened in a lot of churches is that for some reason, when we get down to praising God, we decide to do it silently. We get quiet. We decide, well, it's not appropriate in church. Well, actually, I'm going to show you it is appropriate in church to praise the Lord. Now, no, some of you are worrying. The pastor's going Pentecostal on us. I'm not going Pentecostal on you. There can be an imbalance to this as well. You can go too far. And I'm not expressing that. I'm not encouraging that tonight. But I do think we need to be free to say amen in church. We need to be free to praise God in church during even the preaching time. And don't worry, you're not going to distract me. You're going to encourage me. Because some people, well, we're going to distract the preacher. No, you're not going to distract anyone. But what are the reasons? Why do we praise God? Praise is also personal. Notice in the definition I just said, the expression of gratitude for personal favors conferred. This comes from the Webster's 1828 dictionary. Praise is personal. When you praise God, you're praising Him for what He's done for you. And what He has, yes, what He's done for all mankind, but what He has done in your life. And you know why sometimes God, why people don't want to praise, is because God isn't doing anything because there's sin there. But if there's not sin there, and we just sang some hymns about that, that song we just sang, not the last one, I think the one right after the offering, I've never sang that song before. And that is very true, that we're not going to be that winner. We're not going to be a blessing to someone if we have sin in our life. It's on that last verse there. So we're just praising the Lord. Now, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 gives us four reasons. Here are four reasons why every Christian can and should and is responsible to praise God. Now, we see here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the first part, but ye are a chosen generation. Well, what does that mean? A chosen generation. As Christians, we are now part of the family of God. No longer a relation to this world. We are now of a better spiritual generation because we are saved. Amen. Now, chosen here does not necessarily mean chosen, picked out. You know what? When you say, well, this is a chosen gem, meaning it is above higher value, of higher grade. Because we are saved, we are not like this wicked world. And we are of a generation, the family of God that is on its way to heaven. Amen. And that we need to praise God for that, that we're on our way to heaven, we're not on our way to the pit of hell, that we're not a member of this life and not a member of this world. That brings us to the second, a royal priesthood. Well, what does that mean? Well, this is the priesthood of all believers. This is an essential doctrine in churches, by the way. This is part of the Baptist distinctives, if you've known that, but the priesthood of all believers. We can all come boldly before the throne of God as His children without a mediator on this earth. Amen for that. Because before this, there was not free access to God. But now, through Jesus Christ, who is our mediator, there's only one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus, that He is our mediator. He is our high priest, Hebrews 4:16. And because of this, the reality is that we can come to God. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That is something we need to praise God for, that we have that ability to come before Him. We have an ability to come before His throne and not only come and hoping that He gives us an audience, but we may boldly come. He will never turn us away. We can always come to the Lord, our Heavenly Father, in prayer. A royal priesthood. That's something we can praise God about. Also, it says here, a holy nation. All Christians are united under the headship of Christ. Christ, citizens of that nation of heaven. A holy nation that we're no longer ruled by the devil, the Lord of this world, but we're under new ownership. We're under new citizenship. We're citizens of heaven. And then also last here, a peculiar people, separated and sanctified to a special purpose and use. Look at Titus chapter 2, verse 14. Titus chapter 2, verse 14. These are things we can praise God for. We can praise Him that we're not like we used to be. We are a new creature. We have a new purpose. Now we're peculiar. I know some people are peculiar anyway, but peculiar means set apart, sanctified. Titus chapter 2, verse 14. Who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself. Notice that it's purify. On Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Meaning wanting to do what is right. Wanting to do the Lord's work. We have the ability to do the work of God as His people. We have a purpose that God has given to us. He has a will for us. Praise God for that we have a job to do. But here, the most important of all, the last here. The last part of verse number 9. That ye should shew forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Before we were saved, we were in darkness. We were spiritually dark. But now, through Jesus Christ, we have light. We have the light of salvation through Jesus Christ. And that is something to praise Him for. Amen. It's okay to say amen in church. Amen. Oh, man. Okay, everyone's plugged in again. Okay. See, I think half the time we're like, huh? What happened? What's going on? Okay. No, this is something to praise Him for. But the question is, do we praise God? Oh, Pastor, I praise God at home. That's great. You do that. But you praise God in church, too. Now, we look at second tonight. This first is our reason. Second tonight is our propriety. Our propriety. Tonight, I'm going to express to you the balance of two approaches to church. The first being the show church, or the church that puts on a show, which does not glorify God. That glorifies man. We're not talking about that tonight. I'm a balance between these two. The show church, the hooping and hollering, dancing up and down in the pews, running around the church type of church. That's a show church. That's not what God has in store for us. But also the contrast on the other side of the extreme is the dead church. That is as dead as a funeral parlor. And that the pastor stands up and speaks in a monotone voice. I'm not saying that God's Word still can't reach hearts, but come on, we got to have some excitement about what God has in His Word. There's exclamation points in the Bible. Did you know that? Amen. We can be praising the Lord. And the title of the message tonight says it all. It is okay to say amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's okay. Know what amen means? Do you know what amen means? What's that? So be it. It is truth. It is truth. It's what it means. It is truth. Also has meaning, it is faithful. It is truth. When you say amen, you're saying, that's true because God said it. Amen? So when I'm saying that, when I say amen, I'm saying it is truth. That is true. It's not a lie. It's not my opinion. That's what God says. It is truth. Praise God. Crediting a particular truth to God Himself. You say, praise God. We're giving praise to God. What? Not for the preacher's speaking ability. I don't want anybody to praise me. I want people to praise God for His truth that is written here in His Word. That's what we need to praise God for. Hallelujah. Now, this is an interesting term. I never knew this. I did a little research on it. I'm like, well, hallelujah means? It means hallelujah, right? That's what it means. People say it all the time. It's in songs. Hallelujah. What does it mean? The Hebrew means praise ye Yah, or Yah, or Jehovah. To praise, that is to throw or raise the voice, to utter a loud sound. Praise ye Jehovah. There's another part of the definition. Give praise to God, a word used in songs or praise, or a term of rejoicing in solemn ascriptions of thanksgiving to God, it is used as a noun or as an exclamation. An exclamation is not hallelujah. It is hallelujah as an exclamation. You know, because when we have a statement, an imperative statement, if you like your English, an imperative statement, it is put with a period on the end. But an exclamation is something that someone shouts out in as an exultation that God is great, that we sing hallelujah. Many times in Scripture, you will see an exclamation point used or an exclamation inferred, even though the exclamation point is not there. We looked at one of those at Psalm 119, verse 97. Psalm 119, verse 97. We saw this Wednesday night. Oh, how love I thy law! Exclamation. It's not, oh, how love I thy law. It's, oh, how love I thy law! With an exclamation. You know, David, I don't think was a very, I don't think he was a very dispassionate person. I don't think he was a very, a person that just sat back and it was very low key. You can see in David's life that he was a very passionate person. He had feelings. He didn't let those feelings get in the way except once. Well, more than once, but in praising God, I mean, I don't think you can compare to anyone else in the Bible than to David about praising God. David knew how to praise God, and he did it constantly. He's the one that wrote, seven times a day do I praise thee. Seven times. Praise, praise. Matthew chapter 12 is another. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. An important passage of Scripture. There are over 275 passages, depending on the publisher of your Bible. Actually, I didn't know. But depending on the publisher of your Bible will depend how many exclamation points you have in your Bible. I didn't realize that. But Matthew chapter 12, verse number 34 is an exclamation because of the description given here. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? Now, something in English, that you can have an exclamation even with a question mark. You can't put both there many times, but this is an exclamation. Oh, he didn't say, oh, generation of vipers. You know, you see the zeal of Jesus Christ. He drove people out of the temple. He drove the money changers out. And he said, oh, generation of vipers. You can tell how he says it. You see Paul, the writings of Paul, exclamations. The Bible is not a dispassionate book. It is a book of emotion. And I'm not saying we need to be carried away with our emotions, but we need to express our praise to God. There is a proper way to do it. There's a proper way. 275 exclamation points in the Bible, plus others. When we see when Jesus said with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. He didn't say, Lazarus, come forth. He can say, and what a loud voice is a voice of authority. Lazarus, come forth. It says with a loud voice. That's what the Bible says. Amen. That's what it says. With a loud voice, as with authority. And guess what? Lazarus came out. How you express your praise in church is largely how you are trained in church. How different people do it different ways. If you come from a Catholic or Protestant background, Presbyterian, Episcopal, or whatever, or Methodist, it is not appropriate for you to say amen during a service. It's inappropriate. You can't do that. I don't know how you would say amen in a Catholic service. There's nothing to say amen about. But anyway, but if you come from a Catholic or that background, there are formal times of responsive readings. I'll never forget the first time I was in a Catholic service. I'd never been in one before. And I was at a wedding, I think it was. And they had the different recitations that they did. And I remember the priest said something and everyone stood up and started saying something. It scared me half to death. Like, what are they doing? And my mom said, oh, it's just a responsive ring. Just follow, you know, just listen. And they were going back and forth. They sit down, the priest would say something, and there'll be another statement. And they said, you know, it sounded like robots. It sounded just dead recitation, no life there. There are times also of scripture reading aloud, nothing wrong with that. But the services are dead. They are formalistic, and people are there because out of duty to fill their time. But then if you come from a Pentecostal background, then you see dancing, shouting, slaying the spirit, hooting and hollering and running around all over the place, which is not appropriate. I'm not saying that is. That's not appropriate. These are two extremes and both are wrong. If you grew up in a Baptist church, Well, there's the camp meeting style of jumping on the pews or running laps around the auditorium. That's a camp meeting style church, okay? That can border on the show side of things. Then there's the formal style of many northern churches, which is as stiff as a funeral home. I know, I grew up in one, okay? And I'll never forget, my wife and I, a couple of years ago, we were up in Indiana, we were visiting a church. And the pastor was up there, and it was this church about our size. And was outside Indianapolis, and the pastor, I mean, I thought he was going to be dead as a doornail. You know, he was kind of teaching at first, but then he got going. He took his jacket off, he got going, and he was going. You know what I said? I was sitting in the back pew. And I was sitting there, I sat down, and I said, "Amen." Half the church went. I mean, he was going, and they were saying nothing. I was saying, "Amen." They'll look back at me and give me like a dirty look. So, "Who are you?" And you know what? And I just said it louder the next time. You know, I wasn't trying to bother anybody. I was just praising the Lord. But they all looked at me like I had two heads. And they asked me, "Where are you from? Where are you from? You must not be from our area. You must not." I said, "Well, I'm a pastor down in Texas." Oh, okay. You know, I grew up in New York. No, then they look at me again. They're like, "What happened to you?" I got converted. But, you know, we have to be careful that we just don't look down on people that praise the Lord. You know, some people that they come in and they're praising the Lord and people are looking at them like, you know, it scares you. Like, what's wrong with these people? What are they going to do? Are they going to start up doing something? Now, I was afraid one time on the front row had somebody. They were doing all kinds of stuff. They were Pentecostal. I was afraid they were going to break into a holy fit in the front pew. And I'm like, okay, I hope they don't do that. But still, we can praise God. We're to be somewhere in between. Depending on the church you go to, we don't know what to do sometimes. You know, you go to church, I don't want to offend anybody. But if it's praising God and it's biblical, we don't need to worry about it. Many people judge what they do on two things. They'll judge this, that they are too proper to say amen. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 tells us something. We're not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. Or they are too scared to say amen. Oh, I don't want people to look at me. You shouldn't say amen to have people look at you. You should say amen because you love Jesus Christ. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 32. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 32. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 32. Wait a minute. And 2 Timothy, nope, there is no third verse 32. Wait a minute. Verse number 3 or 2 or 12 or 22. I'm not sure. Typo hits again. Let me try 1 Timothy here. Nope. Well, we'll just move on from that. Should not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We'll go back to Romans chapter 1, right? Well, we learned that this morning. Look at this morning. That we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Are we too scared to say amen? But that's okay, Pastor. That's all well and true. But what does the Bible say? Okay. Well, we come now to our command. Here are some verses on praise. We're going to look at about six or seven of them tonight. Now, let's look beginning. We're going to begin in the Psalms. We're going to work our way forward. Look at Psalm 9. Psalm 9, verse 11. Psalm 9, verse 11. And you want to see some praise services, you go to the book of Psalms or you go to the book of Chronicles. When they dedicated the temple, they had a praise service in the house of God. Psalm 9 and verse number 11. Sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people His doings. So what is the type of praise here? It is verbal, but it is singing. Okay, music is part of our praise to God. That's why it's very important that we have music that is praiseworthy. That is very important. So singing is part of our praise to God. Okay, Pastor, we know that. Look at Psalm 33, verse number 2. Psalm 33, verse number 2. Once again, we see not only singing, but musical instruments, the piano, the organ, the flute, any type of musical instrument is to be used in praise to God. And some instruments are better suited to praise God with than others. Okay? Is there anything inherently wrong with electric guitar or electric bass guitar? No. But they don't necessarily suit themselves to praising God in the proper way. And their connotation is not very good. Okay? So, but I've seen people in church play an electric guitar in Independent Baptist Church in the proper way and play it fine. Now, people, when they saw it come out, they about freaked out. You know, what's going on? But they played it in a proper way. However, because of the connotation, it kind of took away of what the guy was trying to do. Okay? You know, some people do that with a saxophone. I think a saxophone's a little bit of a better instrument because a lot of people play it correctly. But it can have the association with jazz. You know, you can even do that with a trumpet. But we need to make sure that it is giving praise to God. Psalm 33 and verse number 2. Praise the Lord with harp, sing unto him with a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. So that is part of our praise to God as well. Not only our verbal singing, but we may have praise through music. And music is a form of communication, and we can praise God with it. Now, look at Psalm 35, verse 28. Psalm 35, verse 28. Now, we have to another place. Now, this is not singing, or this is not music here. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. So we should be in the attitude of praise daily, every day, all the day long, including Sunday. Amen. All even Sunday, we should be praising God on Sunday more than on other days because of what he has done. You know, we got to be careful that we don't fall into the trap of going on the way home. What do? We go down the list of things of what was wrong with the day. So-and-so didn't talk to me. This didn't happen. The kids were brats. You know, whatever goes down the line. And, well, so-and-so did this. And they have preachers, too. Well, I didn't like pastor's sermon. You know, that's not praising God. We need to praise God for all that he has done. And we need to dwell on the positive and not the negative. You know, you can find the negative in anything. Doesn't matter. If it's a good thing, somebody can find a negative thing in it. Because it's all sinful flesh. But we need to praise God. Now, this is interesting. Look at Psalm 67 and verse number 3. Psalm 67 and verse number 3. Now, it says, let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. Now, this is interesting what it means by praise thee. The word praise, this phrase, specific phrase, it means to praise and worship with extended hands. You know what's really sad is that the contemporary crowd have hijacked this. That it says often, Solomon praised God with open hands of praise. David did. It's in the Bible. The prophets did. There's nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong. But I don't want to be called a Pentecostal. Well, guess what? People have hijacked it. Doesn't make it wrong. The contemporary crowd, they sway and do. I'm not talking about this whole thing, and getting in the mood and all, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people will raise their right hand and do that during the singing time. You know, I remember one time in the service, there was someone that came in, and they were visiting, and they were sitting right in this pew right here. It was about 4 years ago. And they were sitting here during the preaching time, or during the singing time, and they're raising their hand like this during the singing time. I saw everyone in the auditorium looking at them like, what are they going to do next? What are they going to do? They're going to start rolling down on the floor. They did it. They came from Independent Baptist Church, but they raised their right hand as a testimony and praise to God. You'll see people do this during specials. They'll raise their Bible and do that. Or during a special that's a blessing, they'll raise their hand like this. There is nothing wrong with that. Pastor, what are you talking about? There's nothing wrong with that. That's biblical. That's praise. You're raising your hand, and you're not verbally saying it, but you're saying it with them. Some people say, well, praise God, and raise their hand. Ever been to a Sword of the Lord conference? That's what they do. Raise their Bible. And I'm not talking about the hooting and hollering and clapping like it's a baseball game. They do it the right way. And they raise their Bible, and they raise their hand, and they praise God for what's going on and what God is doing and the message, the truth that is there. You see that? In 2 Chronicles chapter 5, look over 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse number 13. 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse number 13. This is in the dedication of the temple. 2 Chronicles chapter number 5, verse 13. Said, Pastor, are you saying that we have to all start doing these things now? That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying tonight is that we can be free to praise God if it's in your heart to do so. God is not pleased with empty words of praise. God is pleased with hearts full of praise, of genuine praise to Him. St. Chronicles chapter 5, verse 13. It came even to pass as the trumpeters and singers were as one. So there's the trumpeters are playing, the singers are singing. Were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voices with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever, that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Amen. And the glory of God can fill His house, can fill this church. So, Pastor, you're saying a cloud's going to fill the church? I didn't say that. The Lord, as I mentioned before in other messages, the Lord is already here. Wherever two or three are gathered together in My name, there will I be in the midst of them. He is here. We need to praise Him for what He has done. We need to praise Him that we have a church to meet in. We have a Bible to read and to learn from. There is much to praise God for. Look at Psalm 51 and verse number 15. Psalm 51 and verse number 15. Psalm 51 and verse number 15. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall shew forth thy praise. Is okay, Pastor, that's all Old Testament. Well, let's look at Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. People that verbally praise the Lord. After what they had seen, after they had seen what God had shown, the angels had showed to them with the shepherds. Luke 2, verse number 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. They were praising God for the message, the sermon they just heard. They heard that the Messiah had come, that the Israel had deliverance from their sin. Praise God. They were glorifying God in heaven for the message that they had heard. Now look at Acts 16, verse 25. We see Paul and Silas at the jail of Philippi, beaten and scourged for preaching and doing the right thing. Didn't do anything wrong, but you know what? They just didn't sit there and wallow in their misery. What did they do? And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Sang and gave praise to God, not only in singing, but in saying how God is great. How do we apply this in church? This is all verbal praise. Verbal praise through singing or through saying it verbally through words. You know, you can say amen when you agree with the truth. It's saying it is true. Now, you can't go overboard with this. You know, some people say amen every 3 seconds. You know, amen, amen, amen. You know, that's great, but it can be distracting. Right? And that takes away from praising God. You know, then you're just trying to say, look at me, look at what I can do. There's a right way and a wrong way to do this, but you can say amen. Too much of a good thing can be bad. Need balance. You can say, praise the Lord, giving God the credit for what He has done and thanking God for the truth that you just heard. Amen. It is truth. We got a couple more ameners now. Giving God the credit for what He has done. Now, this is the question. Yes, even ladies can say amen. Pastor, but what about 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35? I'll show you. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verses 34 and 35. Saying for ladies to say amen does not contradict Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 34 and 35. That's what the Bible says. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. If they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it's a shame for women to speak in the church. So women can't speak at all in church. So ladies, you can't do anything in the church. You got to go home and ask your husbands if you're going to learn anything. I said, Pastor, why was that? But what is 1 Corinthians 14 talking about? What is it talking about? It's talking about speaking in tongues. It's talking about that the ladies are not to be up speaking in tongues in front of the church, which is what the Pentecostal church does. And so that's what it's talking about. It's talking about the ladies are not to be speaking in tongues in teaching and in their preaching and in a teaching and authority over men in the church. It doesn't mean the ladies cannot say amen to what God is doing and to the truth. Got to be careful. Giving praise to God keeps us plugged in. You know what? We don't come to church to fill time. Some people do. Some people come to church. Well, I came to church and I'm just filling my time. I came, I'm doing my duty. I'm a good Christian. I've gone to church all my life. I have come Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night all of my days, and I will continue to do that. And I will come and occupy a pew, and I will listen, and I will read my Bible, and I will make notes, and I will go home and have to do absolutely nothing. That's not being plugged in. That's filling time. I'm fulfilling my duty. And you know what? You receive no joy from what going to church. You receive, and that's why some churches are dead. I'm not saying that our church is dead. It's not dead by a long shot. But that's why some churches are. Because that's all they do. It's filled with people who are filling time. Who are not plugged in to what God is doing. They're not plugged into the message. They don't have their heart engaged. We come to church because we love God and because the life that is in Christ is in this place. That is why we come. We come to hear truth. Now, I'm not going Pentecostal on you, but I think that we need to be more open and genuine in our praise to the Lord during the preaching time. I think we can do better. Not for my sake, but for the Lord. There is nothing wrong with being excited and thankful for what God has done in your life. Nothing wrong with that at all. I would be a little concerned if you weren't excited about what God has done for you. Do we realize what God has done for us? That we who were once were dead in our trespasses and sin, we were on our way to hell, the lake of fire, the place that burneth with fire, where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. That's where we were going. But Jesus died for you. And paid for your sin so that you could go to be in the glories and splendors of heaven for all of eternity to be with Jesus, for all of eternity to be able to walk with the saints of old and to speak with Jesus moment by moment for all of eternity. That's something to praise Him about. And if you can't, there's something wrong. Either one, you're not saved because you can't praise God for what you don't know. Or you're too proud to praise God. I'm too proud. I don't want to embarrass myself in front of people. People are going to look at me. That's the same way that the devil gets people to not witness to other people. If we can't praise God in His house, we're not going to do it outside His house. If we can't praise God and extol what He has done for us, we're not going to do it when we walk out of the doors of this place. When we walk into work, we're not going to do it there either. If we can't do it in the place where God is, we're not going to do it in the place where God is not. So think about that. It's okay to say amen in church. Nothing wrong with being excited and thankful for what God has done. Nothing wrong with praising Him. That's what we're to do in the house of God. Give praise to that effect, and you will please the Lord with it in His house. I'm going to share something with you tonight. I wasn't going to do this, but I'm going to anyway. I think the Lord would have me do it. I was talking to someone recently, someone who was faithfully attending our church. Not a member of our church, hadn't been coming for very long, but I hadn't seen them in a while, and they came the other week, and I talked to them. I said, hey, is everything okay? I mean, we really love having you, and why haven't you been visiting? Like, well, as I grew up in a little bit of a different kind of church, and I necessarily wouldn't agree with the type of church, but she goes, I love the preaching, I love the Word of God, I love all of this, but they said this,
as I've decided to worship elsewhere because your church can't get excited about what God has done. Your church can't praise God. As I'm afraid you're right. I'm afraid you're right. And you know what? If we won't praise God, that shows there's something wrong in here. I'm not saying we have to hoop and holler and run around and do laps. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about a simple amen. Praise God. It's wonderful what God has done, isn't it? Amen. Amen. And if we can't be thankful and excited what God is doing, and people walk into this church, they'll walk right out the door. Because that's not what people seek for. Not what I seek for. That's not what many people seek for. So our silence communicates. So I'm not expecting that everyone say, okay, now when I come in on Wednesday or something happens, like everyone's going to be shouting and hooting and hollering everywhere. I'm not expecting that. I think we need to be a little bit more open. Don't be afraid. It's nothing to be afraid of. It's a command of God to praise Him. Don't be afraid. Don't we say, well, people are going to look at me funny. You know what? It doesn't matter, does it? It doesn't matter. It matters that we praise God. We're not here to be seen of men. We're here to worship the Lord. So let's think about that. It's okay to say amen. It's okay to say praise God. It's okay to say hallelujah. Because God is great. And He has done wonderful things for us. Let's think about that tonight. Let's pray about that and ask Him what He would have us to do as His people in His house. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for tonight. I thank You, Lord, for Your word. I pray, dear Lord, that You have blessed our time this evening. And Lord, we want to give You all the praise and glory. We thank You for all that You have done. I thank You, Lord, for our church. Such wonderful people. Lord, people that You have saved by Your shed blood. All of us here congregated together. And Lord, I pray tonight that we would have hearts full of praise, to praise and to thank You for what You have done for us. Lord, I pray tonight that You would guide and direct our time, that You would guide and direct this invitation. And Lord, if we have been guilty of pride, if we have been guilty of not shedding forth Thy praise, being too proud or embarrassed, whichever the case may be, or think that we don't have anything to praise about, oh Lord, we have so much to praise You about. Whatever the case may be, pray, Lord, that we would be humble and, Lord, that we would be thankful. We thank You for all that You do for us tonight. We pray that You bless this invitation time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.